Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi Dovid Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction and the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome back to The Schmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi Dovid Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. Join us in 2 weeks' time today on the Festival of Shavuos, where there will be no radio show because of the Festival of Shavuos. We'll be reading the Ten Commandments on Sunday morning in 2 weeks' time today at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, jewishgardens.com for more info.
Can we eat?
It's not a fast holiday. We'll be eating special foods. It's cheesecake and dairy products because of the celebration of Shavuos. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But also, Mitch, I want you to know that coming up this week on Tuesday afternoon, I'd like to invite everybody to join us Tuesday afternoon at the JCC for a profoundly deep discussion on evil, on why evil exists, and a completely fresh spiritual perspective on why bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, that's big.
From a very, very deeply spiritual perspective, we're going to be addressing the question of evil, why bad things happen, and even redefining evil from a Kabbalistic and spiritual perspective. That's taking place this Tuesday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. at the JCC here in Palm Beach Gardens. More information is available at jewishgardens.com. That's two great events coming up. Also this morning on the Schmooze, special guest from Los Angeles, California, live on Schmooze Radio, it's Rabbi Zalman Kravitz from Jews for Judaism. Good morning, Rabbi Kravitz, and welcome to the Schmooze.
Good morning, Rabbi Vigler. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
Yes, Rabbi Kravitz, thank you very much. I understand it's very early in the morning for you, and we're very grateful you're doing this for us and for our listeners here in Florida and in New York. Rabbi Kravitz, you're in charge of an organization called Jews for Judaism. Could you tell us a little bit about what the organization does?
Yes, absolutely. So in the mid-80s, my father, Rabbi Ben-Zion Kravitz, was a campus rabbi at UCLA and the surrounding campuses. And as a campus rabbi, you get many different questions from many, many different places. One of the particular questions that my father would get as a rabbi on campus was from Jewish students wanting him to answer the question of Christianity, of Eastern religions, people who are seeking but didn't have the context, didn't have the knowledge to be able to defend their own faith. So
they just didn't have the tools.
They didn't have the tools, but also the knowledge and the context. And very often sitting on Bruin Walk or on campus, there were missionaries who were standing there waiting to debate or to challenge Jewish students. And often these students would say, Rabbi, why don't you debate these people? And for him, it was really important to be able to illustrate to the students that Judaism had relevant answers. And with that, he started Jews for Judaism to be able to empower young Jews with answers on not only the relevance of Judaism, but also that Judaism stands up to the challenge of other faiths, that Judaism itself has a spiritual answer, has an answer to polemics, has an answer to challenges, not only from the lack of understanding, but also from someone who may not know, but will challenge Judaism from another faith.
Very eloquently articulated. I love how you, the passion that you exude in the work that you do. I'm sure that that problem isn't only in the 80s, but it's certainly going on today as well, where spiritually out of touch Jewish students are faced with having to deal with missionaries or boyfriends and girlfriends of other faiths. And they are oftentimes deeply entrenched in their faith, and they just schlep over the Jewish boyfriend or girlfriend because they don't have any answers.
Rabbi, this is Mitch Zachary. I'm the CEO. Rabbi, could you give us a specific example of where you've helped bring somebody back into our fold, so to speak?
Well, we're constantly working with people, many different people, from emails that people are sending us, whether they're Jewish or not Jewish, who are looking and reading our content on the website. Our YouTube channel has over a million views, and we're constantly having these dialogues with people. So I may have a Jewish student from a college campus. The Chabad rabbi may call me and say, you know what, I have a particular student who's battling, who's struggling, who's looking, who's seeking, and would like you to go one-on-one and have a discussion with them. I may have a parent who may call us and say, you know what, my child is seeking other places. They've really entertained the idea or the possibility of converting to Christianity. Can you please work with our child to make sure that they're making an informed choice?
Rabbi Kravitz, how widespread is the problem of Jews moving away from Judaism?
So I think it's very, very interesting. It's hard to define, but let me just give you a couple quick statistics. So there's a recent study that showed that 20% of Jewish millennials believed that Jesus was God in human form.
How many percent was that?
That's 20% of Jewish millennials.
20% of Jewish millennials, my age, believe that Jesus was God? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
So even I'll give you another example. 42% of Jewish millennials reported that they celebrated Christmas.
Wow. So we're missing a large segment of our population here.
Rabbi, what do you think that means for the Jewish population in America in the future?
Well, I think there's good and bad. In a sense, the challenge is that we as rabbis, as community leaders, we have to do our utmost to make Judaism relevant, to inspire people to connect to Judaism in a way that is not just the way it was, you know, just because someone was raised in a Jewish community doesn't mean that we can take for granted that they will continue to own their Jewish journey. I think that that's an important thing. But on the other hand, people are seeking. And so if they are seeking to connect to God, connect to Judaism, to connect to religion, that if Judaism can find a relevancy, a connection through Judaism, then that's a beautiful opportunity.
Rabbi, do you notice any commonality amongst this large percentage of young Jews that, you know, believed Jesus was God? Like, were they not bar mitzvahed? Were they not educated? Is there any commonality there that you were aware of?
So we get a variety of different cases, and each one is different and unique in itself. I think that one of the things that we've developed over time is that value that every single person, every individual that comes to us, we take them at face value. We say, look, you're interested in seeking and learning. It's our opportunity to teach you according to the way that you learn. But I think that when we come to what's the underlying cause,
right?
I think there's an idea that there's a Talmudic saying that says, "Ein achbara ganva ela chura ganva." The weasel, the mouse, is not the thief, but the hole in the wall is the thief. And I think that we as Jews and Jewish leaders, it's our responsibility to not only look and address the people who are seeking, but also address the underlying root cause of that, which may be the lack of spiritual and spiritual connection to Judaism, the emotional need that someone is experiencing, that they may look for a place to a refuge for that challenge that they're going in their life, and then they may turn to their boyfriend, their best friend, their roommate, their next door neighbor who may be of another faith, and that person may introduce them to a loving, connected community that may happen to be Christian, or just the lack of knowledge of Judaism, the lack of answers. And I think that, you know, so often we look for the easiest or the closest answer to us, but we don't look in our backyard.
So, you know what? I have to tell you, thank you, Rabbi, for the explanation. That makes total sense to me. I was going to ask you about why you think it happens. That makes total sense to me. So that would appear to me, you know, this is resulting then.
Because, mate, you've actually been there.
Yes.
You've been at that point where Judaism was kind of like not inspiring to you.
Well, I think many American Jews
Many
feel
American
that way.
Jews, exactly right. So how far
we
is
look
that?
I just want to interrupt for a second. Many American Jews look at Judaism as an obligation.
As some sort of a burden.
As a burden. Absolutely.
Where you have to do this and you have to do that.
You have to go to Hebrew school. You have to get bar mitzvah.
It's just a pain in the neck.
And then you're done.
Right, it seems like a pain in the neck.
No rewards.
So the question, Mitch, is why is it that our religion, which is so deep It's so mystical. It's so spiritual. It's so profoundly relevant. Why are people missing the message?
I'll tell you why. It's not taught that way.
So that's the hole in the wall that Rabbi Kravitz is talking about. He said it's not the weasel who's at fault. It's not the rat who's at fault. It's the fact that there's a hole. Why are we not being able to communicate a spiritually invigorating message to our listeners?
Because that message doesn't get you through the bar mitzvah. It's learning enough to get to the bar mitzvah.
So you're saying that Judaism is over-commercialized.
In America.
It's over-commercialized.
Right. In America, we're focused very narrowly. In terms of Judaism, we're focused very narrowly.
There's very little focus on inspiration. It's all about the ritual.
There's no time. There's no time. So what's happening is American Jews are trained. I was. My children were. We're not trained. We don't even know what's in the Torah. Okay, it wasn't until I started studying with you, Rabbi, that I learned that each book is different. There's something different to be learned each week.
Rabbi Kravitz, this is a very painful realization we're coming to today. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze. We're separating the facts from the fiction. The Bubba Mice is from the bottom line. And on the line, live from Los Angeles, California, is Rabbi Zalman Kravitz. He's the director of Jews for Judaism. You can find them online at JewsForJudaism.com, an organization committed to bringing Jews back home. Jews that are on the precipice, Jews that are faced with boyfriends and girlfriends, next-door neighbors and employers that are spiritually inspired in other faiths, and they just don't know how to respond. They are, I believe that they're fiercely Jewish. I believe that they're proudly Jewish, but they just don't have any good answers. What Jews for Judaism does is that it reaches out to these people, to these spiritually, to these spiritual souls that are a little bit lost or a little bit, a little weak in their conviction, giving them the tools, giving them the resources, giving them the inspiration that they need in order to be able to stand up to their peers. But to me, that's, you know, offense is the greatest defense. It's not just about defending. It's not just about being able to answer their questions. My question is, what can we do for our Jewish brethren, for our 20% of Jewish millennials that believe that Jesus is God, for the 42% of Jewish millennials that believe that observed Christmas last year? What can we do to them, not just to answer the questions of their neighbors? What can we do to them to actually inspire them and make them feel proud to identify as Jews?
That's a great, Rabbi, I just want to interject one experience I had, which totally makes sense as an explanation of what Rabbi Zalman Kravitz is saying. I once worked in a very waspy company, and they were having a Christmas party. They didn't call it a holiday party, they called it a Christmas party. And when I left a little early with everybody else to go, my boss looked at me and said, "Well, you're Jewish, why are you coming?"
You see, he didn't even respect you for coming.
Okay.
He expected you not to come.
And so, but that's the pressure that Jews face in this country, okay?
A social pressure.
A social pressure that you're different.
Rabbi Kravitz, what are your thoughts on this? What do you say?
You know, that's a very important question and something that I grapple with every single day. I think for me, what I've tried to do and strived within my work is to inspire people and raise awareness how accessible Judaism is. You know, one of the things that the Lubavitch Rebbe always promoted was the idea is that it's not about the quantity, but it's the quality of the one mitzvah. And that if we can create one touch point for each person and show how Judaism is accessible and relevant, that can have a ripple effect and can have an evolution in their personal Jewish experience. So whether it's going into a shul and having a welcoming experience, if it's going to a Shabbos dinner and having a spiritual experience, if it's davening, if it's putting on tefillin, whatever experience it is, if we can make Judaism accessible and relevant, then we can absolutely inspire people to connect to Judaism.
But I want to tell you something. I don't have this problem in my house.
Why would you?
I don't have the problem that you just described, Mitch, about going to an Xmas party and the boss looking at you and saying, "Well, you're Jewish. Why are you here anyways?" And I'll tell you why I don't have that problem. Because in our home, observing the laws of kosher, we have automatically created, by adhering to the principles of Torah, we've already created boundaries where we Jews know, we as a family, we as a people know where our limitations are. So in other words, we would never be at that Xmas party in the first place, not me nor my children, I hope. Why? Because we know that we have our own dietary laws. We have our own customs, our own traditions. We're not trying to blend in with the other guys. We're not trying to blend in with the competition. We're proud of how we do it. We're not trying to say that we're also cool with the other guys.
Rabbi, with all due respect.
Here he comes.
You're raising your children in an incredibly different environment than most American Jews are raising their families.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think that's a tremendously positive point to be at.
I agree with you, but that's reality. Reality is you're a rabbi, you're a Chabad, you are raising your children biblically and traditionally in the way they should
be. I'm raising my kids with a spiritual compass.
Okay.
Just like you use a GPS to reach your destination in your car, I am using a GPS to take my family to the spiritual aspirations that we as parents are trying to reach. And that GPS is the Torah.
Okay.
That GPS is the principles of kosher, the principles of modesty, and all the other values which we invest and spend our resources on in order to get them to that point. Why shouldn't that make sense?
Okay, but how?
Just because everybody else is wandering in the darkness, going in circles, it doesn't mean we should be following their lead.
So my question to you and to Rabbi Zalman Kravitz is this. How do we get that teaching, that set of values, across to all of the people, American secular Jews that the Rabbi Kravitz is saying, and that rabbi that you're saying? How do you get that across?
What do you say, Rabbi Kravitz? What do you answer to this question? The director of Jews for Judaism from Los Angeles, California.
So if I may add, I think there's another component that is really important. And, you know, it's something that we strive to, those who have embraced the whole idea of going out and inspiring people to connect to Judaism, is the idea is that when we're going out and we're giving, that in itself is a sort of a barrier or a shield to being influenced by the people around
us. What you mean is, so when you're inspiring others, then you're not being inspired by their propaganda. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So I think that's also an important component, so that when we're raising our children, we're not just raising our children as people who are passively experiencing their Judaism, but we're raising them to actively experience Judaism, but also to share it with people who ask, who are interested about Judaism. And I think that is, when you're teaching, you have to ask yourself those questions, like, why is Judaism relevant to me? And how do I answer those questions? And how do I communicate that to others? And I think that's a key component, that we're not proselytizing. We're not telling people, okay, they have to change their thoughts. But when someone does engage with us, that we have the answers and we have the tools to be able to communicate that powerfully.
Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. This is Rabbi Zalman Kravitz from Jews for Judaism in Los Angeles, California. Our guest this morning is Shmooze Radio with the rabbi and the CEO. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews, just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com. And the CEO is Mitch Zachary, the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. Rabbi Kravitz, I've got questions for you. So what is it exactly that you say to a college kid on campus, deeply in love with his Christian girlfriend? He goes to church services once a month or once a week with his girlfriend, and he is inspired by the message. What is the message that you say to such a kid? Let us know.
Let's have coffee. Let's learn. Let's discuss. You know, for me, I think the most important value that I can inspire people to do is to make an informed choice, to ask questions, to delve deeper. Like it says in Pirkei Avot, hafok ba hafok ba dekulaba. Turn it over, for everything is in it. That if we grapple with it and we go in and turn it over and go deeper and deeper and deeper, I personally believe that by delving deeper, by peeling the onion, that we will find the truth, and the truth that we can find
Rabbi Kravitz, you're
for
saying
a Jewish person is Judaism.
There's no magic pill, you're saying. It's about delving deeper. It's about learning about your identity as a Jew. That's your answer, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So let me ask you this question, very specifically speaking. When a Jewish kid comes to me and says, Rabbi, how come we Jews don't accept Jesus as the Messiah? Why don't we just make Jews for Jesus? Why can't we just coexist, like that bumper sticker says? Let's just all live in peace together. Why can't we just serve God in the Torah through Jesus? What's the answer to that question?
So there are two major challenges that Judaism has for a Jew to believe in Christianity. One, which is almost downplayed by many people who are missionaries, is the idea that the Trinity. The Trinity is, believing in a triune God is a contradiction to the whole idea of a unitary God within Judaism. And for that particular point is one of the most powerful and the most important points. That in Judaism we believe that God does not have any form and does not have any human embodiment. And so for a Jew to believe in a Trinity, they're taking a step outside of the whole confines of Judaism. And that's a big point. The second point, which is that for a Jew to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, is not consistent with Tanakh and with what Judaism believes as the whole sort of parameters of what Mashiach is.
Right, I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a second. I want all listeners to get mad at me. But Rabbi, so what happens when he says, but why are however many Jews there are, 15 million versus a billion Christians, why are they wrong and we're right?
You know, that's a very, very, very interesting question. You know, I generally don't make my decisions based on a popularity contest. You know, just because...
Good answer.
You know, we have to own it for ourselves. We have to ask those questions. You know, how many people believe in, you know, many things that when you look at the numbers, you see maybe it's not exactly the way they see it or the perception of how it would actually happen. You know, we can go through a history of things, of many different examples of things that, you know, society believe in that could happen. You know, how many people believe that there was an extra conspirator in the Kennedy assassination? You know, I'm not comparing one or the other, but I think that it's important to own the narrative and understand the story for yourself, and each person needs to make their own decision.
Fascinating stuff here with our guest this morning on Shmooze Radio. It's Rabbi Zalman Kravitz, Director of Jews for Judaism out of California in Los Angeles. You can learn more about them at JewsForJudaism.com. And you're listening here to the Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO, Mitch Zachary, CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I am Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. Learn about us online at JewishGardens.com. And don't forget to join us for the Festival of Shavuos, the reading of the Ten Commandments, where you can delve deeper, find out more about your Jewish identity, connect to your Jewish connection at any Chabad house around the world at JewishGardens.com/centers to find a Chabad house near you. That's JewishGardens.com/centers. Our special guest this morning live on the radio is Rabbi Zalman Kravitz, Director of Counter-Missionary Activities, Jews for Judaism. Rabbi Kravitz, what is the root cause, in your opinion, Jews straying from their people? Is it a lack of inspiration with Judaism, or is it something alluring about Christianity?
Well, I think that, you know, it really depends on where a person is in their life and what is happening that causes them to explore. You know, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is introducing them to a meaningful spiritual experience within Christianity. It may be someone who is lacking spiritual connection within Judaism and finds it by the people, their next door neighbor.
And I think that nails it. I think that nails it. It starts off with a vacuum. It starts off with a spiritual vacuum. And the way to solve that problem is by making sure that you celebrate Shabbat dinner with your wife and children in your home. You see, when you're able to sit around the Shabbos dinner table and talk about the issues, to talk about why Judaism is invigorating, why Judaism is inspiring, what the relevance of Yiddishkeit, of Torah is to us in 2018, if you can challenge yourself to discuss these questions with your wife and children, it's then that they will find a spiritual connection through the family medium, through the connection of the family, and they won't need to be seeking elsewhere. Because when you're full, you're not going to start wandering around the back alleys looking for something to eat. If your stomach is full, if you're filled with good food, you're not going to look elsewhere. But it's when you're empty, it's when you're hungry, that's when you're going to go look elsewhere. Do you agree with that analogy, Mitch?
Yeah, except that you first have to know what's there.
So how do we wake up people to know that it's there? How do we wake you up and say, hey, wake up, you're Jewish, you're the chosen people. You know, Shavuos is when God gave us the Torah. You were chosen to make a difference in the entire cosmic plan of creation. We're waiting for you. You're up to bat. The entire stadium of Jewish history, of world history, is waiting for you to hit this ball out of the stadium so we can have a home run, finish the game, but you're sleeping on the job.
Sleeping on the job. You're not in the ballpark.
So what do we do? Zalman, help us. How do we get these guys to wake up?
So in the words of Rabbi Klatko, there's an amazing thing he said. He said that Judaism is not a religion, it's a relationship. And a relationship needs work. A relationship doesn't just happen, oh, two people meet each other and then great. That's just people who are acquaintances. Judaism, our relationship with Judaism is something that evolves over time, that needs to be nurtured, and requires real work. And I think that bringing people into that relationship is not something that happens overnight, but it's just something that evolves one step at a time. And so if it's each person reaching out to the person next to them, we all, if we feel that responsibility of the relevancy of Judaism, that if we know one person who is our neighbor, who is our friend, who is our relative, who is Jewish, who's seeking a connection to Judaism, open up. Give them the opportunity to ask a question. Give them the opportunity to have a discussion. Give them the opportunity to experience a Shabbos dinner. It's through that that we can go one person at a time, but cumulatively, that's thousands, if not millions of people, one step at a time.
Rabbi Kravitz, I love that analogy of saying that Judaism is not a religion, it's a relationship, because I agree with that on such a deep level, where if you're not feeling the love, if for you, Mitch, you described it before, you said that Judaism by so many is viewed as a burden, is viewed as a yoke, it's viewed as something that you have to do, you gotta go to Hebrew school, and you gotta graduate your bar mitzvah, mindless chanting, and then you're free off the hook until you decide to get married, where you're gonna have to hang out with the rabbi for a little bit, until he can get you out from under the chuppah, and then you're good to go until you die. But basically, I mean, that's just an awful way to look at our Judaism. It's just like a terrible headache. That's how you see it. It's just a headache.
It's a burden.
It's a problem. It's a problem that needs to be
And we have to be different.
With.
And we have to be different.
If you're not feeling the love, Mitch, you're not doing it properly. I want you to think a moment here. How do you feel about your wife? Okay? If you think about your wife as a problem that needs to be sort of kept at bay, then you know that your marriage is on the rocks. Do you know what I mean? If you feel that your children are just a headache, you know, we got to sort of like, okay, we got to pay this tuition, we're going to get them out of the house, and then we can start living, then you know that you've got major problems, major issues. If that's your relationship with your maker, with your spiritual core, with your spiritual destination and your source, then you have a spiritual problem. You need, we need, I need to be able to develop a meaningful relationship with God. And just like I have real feelings for my wife, and just like I have real feelings for my kids, I've got to have real feelings for my God. And I want to give you a quick example. You know, we daven every morning at the Chabad. We have a minyan every morning, 7:30. We get together, we daven. We were having a conversation the other day. You know, now the snowbirds are leaving us, and some of the regular people are not here. They're going back up north. So some of the other people are taking over, and the speed of the prayers are getting a little quicker. So I was complaining as the rabbi. I said, the service is too quick. We need to be able to daven in 45 minutes to an hour. You can't do this in 25 to 30 minutes. They looked at me and they said, Rabbi, but you're the rabbi. You can read quicker than anybody else. I said to them, this is not a reading competition. Prayer is not about how quickly I can read and move on and start my day. Prayer, for me, is an emotional connection. Prayer is when I calibrate the problems I experienced yesterday, the problems I anticipate today, with the vision of my soul, with my mind's eye, with my unshakable faith. And that's when I calibrate it all together. And I can't do that in 20 minutes. It's just way too quick for me. I need to be able to go through the meditations of prayer, to be able to connect emotionally with the awe of God, with the love of God, to be able to connect on a meaningful level. And that's why I feel awful when I'm rushed through my services, in the same way that I feel awful when I'm rushed through my lunch. If you eat lunch in 2 minutes, you feel like you experience the indigestion, it doesn't go down, it's, you know what I mean? It's all stuck somewhere in the wrong places. And that's why Judaism is about a relationship. And if you don't have that relationship, then you need to find it. The way to find that, Rabbi Kravitz from Jews to Judaism is telling us, is by having a cup of coffee with your Rabbi. Have a cup of coffee, open a book, and study. Ask questions. When you ask good questions, hopefully your rabbi will give you good answers. And listen to this from me. If your rabbi is not giving you good answers, you need a new rabbi, because not all rabbis were created equal. If your rabbi cannot answer your good questions, I want to tell you, we got a girl in our community who, at the age of 16, she asked her rabbi some question about reincarnation in Judaism, and the rabbi gave her a book called Many Faces, Many Lives, which is basically some secular book about whatever. It had nothing to do with Judaism. This girl was so turned off. She was so turned off by the apathy of her rabbi in New Jersey that she basically converted to Catholicism. Right now, 10, 15 years later, we're working on bringing her back home right now to inspiring her to the real Jewish message. But that's my point. If your rabbi is not answering your question, you had better find yourself a good rabbi, in the same way that if your doctor or your lawyer is not giving you the treatment you deserve, you just need to find a new doctor or a new lawyer. And that's how we can strive towards a meaningful relationship with our God, with our identity as Jewish people. We are running out of time over here. Rabbi Kravitz from Jews of Judaism is our guest this morning here on Shmooze Radio. Rabbi Kravitz, we're out of time. Can you give us a closing comment, please?
So, in closing, I would just have to say that it's our job to make Judaism accessible. And both through what Jews for Judaism has done, through our online outreach and through our social media, is really bring those questions up front, so that people can ask them, so that they feel welcome to ask them, so that they feel welcome to have a dialogue. And I think that everybody should seek for themselves, just like it says, make for you a teacher and find a friend, that we need to have that dual relationship. We have to find friends that we can discuss things, and we also have to have teachers who we can discuss things. And whether it's your local rabbi, whether it's your best friend, whether it's someone who is around, who's a little bit more knowledge than you, it doesn't matter how much knowledge they have, open up, have that dialogue, ask the questions, delve deeper, and make an informed choice.
Thank you, Rabbi Kravitz, for joining us here this morning live from Los Angeles, California. Keep up the great work. Learn about Rabbi Kravitz at JewsForJudaism.com. And don't forget to join us at your local Chabad for the reading of the Ten Commandments and the connection of where it all started on the Festival of Shavuos in 2 weeks' time today at JewishGardens.com/centers. That's JewishGardens.com/centers. Tuesday afternoon this week, we also will be talking at the JCC about what is the nature of evil and why bad things happen to good people from a very deeply spiritual perspective. That's this Tuesday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. at the Mandel JCC here in Palm Beach Gardens. Learn more online at jewishgardens.com. Shalom. Thank you for joining us here this morning. And make sure that your connection is better than ever before. Your relationship with God yesterday is not good enough for today. You got to keep on growing. You got to keep on digging. Shalom. Let's do this.
Shalom.